أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته، ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين، وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى، وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صلوات Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it clear in this verse that fasting has been made a fariḍa upon us, the way it had been made a fariḍa on those who were before us. And in the light of this verse, we understand that the goal of fasting, the reason why we are pursuing it, is that there is an ihtimal, there is a probability that we may end up having taqwa in our souls. So taqwa is considered to be the goal of fasting. And inshallah, in these nights of the month, we will discuss the subject of taqwa and certain things which are related to it. First of all, its meaning. And second of all, we'll talk about its science. And then we will discuss the haqiqat and reality of taqwa, so it becomes crystal clear in your mind what exactly the concept of taqwa is. And then we'll talk about the need towards taqwa and the jurisdiction of taqwa. And then we'll discuss the maratib and levels of taqwa. And after that, we'll discuss, inshallah, the two different kinds of taqwa. One is the musbat and the positive one. The other one is the manfi and the negative taqwa, which our urufa considers it to be negative. And finally, we will discuss the athar and the benefits and signs and impacts that a person gains out of taqwa. So we'll start with the meaning of the concept of taqwa. In Arabic, it's derived from the Arabic word of taqwa and tuqa. These are both masdar and infinitives, and they are derived from the word of al-waqyu wal-wiqaya. So actually, there was no ta in the word, it was a waw, and later on the waw got converted into a ta. So it was waqwa in Arabic, in the root of the word, aslul kalima, and it became taqwa from waqwa. And we have several examples for those of you who are familiar or have some Arabic backgrounds of the knowledge of al-munahaf and tasrif. There are several examples that we have in the Arabic language, like the word Tawrat is another example. In Arabic it used to be Wawrat, and it got converted into Waw, converted into Ta, similarly like Taqwa, so it became Tawrat. And similarly, we have the word Ukht in Arabic, means a sister. In the root of the word, it used to be Ukhwun with a Waw, and the Waw converted into a Ta, it became Ukhtun. And likewise, the word bint, daughter, in Arabic actually was binwun with a waw, and again it got converted into bintun. So we have several examples in the language. So taqwa, literally speaking, means repelling something through something else. If you repel something by the means of something else, that is what is called taqwa in the literal meaning of the word. And obviously, in the light of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, this literal meaning can be easily understood, where this hadith is narrated in Man la yahwaruhu al-faqih, which is one of the four mother books, Ummahat al-Kutub, mother books of our hadith. And according to this narration, the Prophet said, اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة. That means protect from the fire. That means, in other words, protect yourselves from the fire, although through a piece of a date. Basically, if you give sadaqah, if you cannot afford to give the whole date as sadaqah to some poor mu'min person, you give half of the date to him. A piece of the date to him. Still, you are repelling the hellfire away from you through that piece of date. So repelling something through something else, that's the literal meaning of the word taqwa in Arabic. And from the same root word is also the word of taqiyya that we commonly use in Arabic and in our fiqh, which is also derived from the same root word. Taqiyya means we camouflage ourselves and protect ourselves for a bigger goal. Just like the militaries use the camouflage uniforms for those who are working in desert operations, isn't it right? With all those desert type of colors and flowers and patches, isn't it right? Patches kind of prints on their uniforms. They are doing taqiyya as well. Isn't that right? Taqiyya is part of human nature, part of the nature, not just human nature, part of the nature. You find the chameleons do taqwa, taqiyya, isn't that right? When they find the enemy, they change their colors to defend themselves. So they hide their identity for a bigger goal. And the bigger goal is to protect their life. Isn't that right? So taqiyya is a natural and aqli and intellectually supported phenomena. And for the sake of hifzul asrar and protecting the, you know, higher goals of humanity and nobility. So some people, when they talk about taqwa, they interpret it usually as khawf, fear of Allah, khawfullah, makhafatullah. That's not the meaning of taqwa. That's whatever scholars say, it is like istimal sabab fil musabbab. You are using the cause in order to give the meaning of the effect. So using the cause for the sake of the effect. The effect of protecting yourself when you have the malaka, the inner charisma in your soul to protect yourself. That's where you will be having fear of Allah. So fear of Allah is one of the musabbab and effects of taqwa, not the taqwa itself. Taqwa itself is not the fear. And we come to the point when we'll discuss the haqiqat and reality, you will get a clearer picture. Obviously, when we are living in the social lives in cities and villages and towns, humans, when they are living and interacting together, they are forced to make certain laws and signs and symbols to convey to each other so that they can lead a life according to certain defined principles. And according to those principles, if everyone abides by those laws and signs and symbols, we can protect ourselves from the dangers and mahalik that we face in our life. So we go, you go out on the street, you find there are so many signs that have been placed. Isn't that right? Symbols and signs and placards and, you know, so those are there so that everyone who is treading the path goes by a uniform principle which is applicable on everyone in an equal way. So if all in the society are abiding by the same set of principles which are depicted through those signs, then we can avoid dangers and risks. Isn't that right? So that's how the people, the humans, are living in cities and societies and towns and countries. So Islam says that for the sayrun ma'nawi, for the spiritual travel that a human has towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which in animal irfan we call it as-sayr wa suluk ila Allah, when we have the spiritual travel towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we also are facing a lot of dangers and risks which are more in quantity and quality, kamman wa kayfan, bigger and wider and vaster dangers are faced by human souls in the travel towards Allah. So we do need signs and symbols and preset principles and dawabit, so that in a social lifestyle we are able to avoid the harms and risks and dangers and collectively live a life of success. So this is exactly the whole phenomena of Sirat al-Mustaqim, is exactly like this. Isn't that right? We have already discussed earlier in one of the speeches that Sirat al-Mustaqim is something which is thinner, thinner than the hair, adakku min ash-sha'r, isn't that right? Haddu min as-saif, sharper than the edge of the sword, and azlamu min al-layl, darker than the night. And the same Sirat al-Mustaqim, the same straight path in this dunya which we are supposed to tread, and we are praying to Allah minimum 10 times daily as wajib in our Surah al-Fatiha that we read. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, ihdina as-sirat. 10 times daily saying in this dua towards Allah is wajib on everyone. Isn't it right? Because we pray 5 times a day. So the same sirat al-mustaqim which we are treading in the life of this dunya, the zuhur of the sirat al-mustaqim is going to be on the day of judgment, which is the day of appearing of all the realities. Not only this, but every other reality will also appear. Yawm al-Haqa'iq, Day of Judgment, has 100 plus names, and one of those 100 plus names is Yawm al-Haq and Yawm al-Tubla al-Sara'ir. So all the realities will appear. The hadith says, Summa yuza'u ala sirati, yuza'u alayha. ثم يوضع عليها الصراط أدق من الشعر وأحد من السيف. And then upon the hellfire, a path will be placed thinner than the hair, أدق من الشعر. That's there in the hadith, أدق من الشعر, actually. Let me correct it. وأحد من السيف, and sharper than the sword. So this path will be placed on the hellfire on the day of judgment, and now we, you know, everyone is going to be crossing over the same bridge. So everywhere else around the bridge is the hellfire and its flames. A little deviation, it will cost us to drop down into the hell. So, because everywhere else is nothing but the hell. And the same is the situation here. It's such a fine line that a mu'min is supposed to walk in his life. So you cannot come up and say everything is okay, everyone is okay. No, he's also okay, he's also okay, he's also okay. Everybody's okay. So everybody cannot be okay. The one who is on haq is okay. The one who is not on haq is not okay. So we have to find out what is haq. So we follow that fine line. This Sirat al-Mustaqim is thinner than the hair, and we walk over that so we don't get deviated from the straight path and land ourselves in the flames of the hellfire, which do exist right now according to the Islamic belief system. We don't believe the hell is going to be created there. We believe the hell and heaven have already been created, and it exists right now. And Quran has already informed us that inna jahannama la muhitatum bil kafirin. Certainly the hell is engulfing the kuffar, the kafirin. Is engulfing. The translation of the verse is not that certainly the Jahannam will going to engulf the kuffar tomorrow on the day of judgment. This is not what the Quran has said. Quran did not say inna jahannama satuhitu bil kafirin or sawfa tuhitu bil kafirin. Quran says inna jahannama la muhitatum bil kafirin. Right now is engulfing all the kafir people are in the hell right now. So Jahannam is there. Every kafir is in the hell. We don't see them. They don't see themselves. We don't see them. We don't see the heaven. We don't see the hell. The haqaiq are hidden from us because of the naqs and the lack in our spiritual visions and basirat. So we find that that's why the scholars are called Alamul Huda. My teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuli Hafazahullah was saying that an alim is alamul huda, is a symbol, is a sign of hidayat and guidance. Because through the alim, the Quran, the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam reach the people and they get the guidance. So this is these. So and we consider the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they are actually the biggest alamul huda, the biggest symbols of guidance, because their knowledge is derived from the knowledge of Allah. Isn't that right? Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam learned their knowledge from the Holy Prophet, and Prophet got their knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly without any wasita in the middle. So, and they don't learn no knowledge from anyone in this world. They cannot learn any knowledge because nobody has any knowledge, you know, more than their knowledge. So, whereas the scholars learn the knowledge through the wasa'it, through not just one wasata but several means in the middle. And likewise, the people learn the knowledge through the scholars, so they have one more wasata or several more wasa'it in the middle, coming in the middle. So basically, this serves as a symbol of hidayat and guidance. Since the ilm of Ahlul Bayt is not naqis, it is kamil and perfect. So they are the perfect alam and symbol of guidance. And in addition to their knowledge, they have the perfect amal as well. So the perfect actions, perfect obedience towards Allah, perfect acting perfectly over their ilm and knowledge, which translates into the ismat phenomena. So their ismat is nothing but it means their comprehensive knowledge and comprehensive obedience towards Allah. So that's why they're not only their qaul. See, qaul is related to your knowledge. If you speak knowledge, if you talk about the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, this is related to your qaul. When we talk about the Ahlul Bayt, not only their qaul is hujjat, but we believe that their amal is also hujjat. Isn't it right? Let's suppose Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is present, and he he performs the wudu. So in front of the, you know, people. So that action of Rasulullah is enough for the entire ummah to learn as a lesson, and they start following exactly what the Prophet has done. Even if he doesn't say nothing through his call. So we believe that, you know, when we talk about there are four sources of ijtihad in Islam, Quran and Sunnat and Ijma' and Aql, when we talk about the Sunnat, we mean by the word, by the terminology of Sunnat, we mean Qawlul Ma'soom, the statements of an infallible person, Fi'lul Ma'soom, the actions of an infallible person, wa Taqreerul Ma'soom. Taqreer in Arabic means that their intentional silence over an action performed by somebody else, they are not doing that action, somebody else is doing an action, but they are witnessing the action of someone else. And they intentionally stay silent. They are masoom. If somebody is doing a haram, they have to take a step. They have to do amr bil ma'ruf and nahy anil munkar. They cannot stay silent over the haram of the people. So if a person is doing an action in front of a masoom, and the masoom stays silent over his action, intentionally, this is called taqreerul masoom. Masoom through his silence is certifying. In usul al-fiqh they say, this action of the person is hujjat for us to understand that the action is mubah and doable in Islam. Because if the masoom stays silent over his amal, this is a dalilun shar'i. It's a hujjat from Allah that that amal of that person was mubah and permissible and jais to do in Islam. So we believe in usul al-fiqh that not only the call of the masoom is hujjat, but his amal is also equally hujjat. Whereas when it comes to the ulama, their amal is not hujjat. Only the fatwa of the mujtahid is hujjat, not his amal. Despite the fact that we respect all our maraji and we respect all our ulama who are udul and adil, certainly we don't respect the fasiq ones, but we respect every alim who is adil. So their call is hujjat. Not every call, but the call that they say fi sadade bayane hukmillah, how they say it in usul al-fiqh, when they are at the point of informing you about the hukm of Allah, which is what we call the fatwa or the hukm. So when they are informing you the fatwa and the hukum, only then their statement is considered to be hujjat. So if the mujtahid says to me, bring me the 7-Up or Pepsi, it's not wajib on me to bring 7-Up for the mujtahid. He's not informing the hukum of Allah to me, isn't it right? So he's not fi sadade bayane hukmillah, how they say in usul al-fiqh. So not every call of a mujtahid is also not hujjat. Only those of his statements when he is talking about the hukum of Allah, and you know, in the form of a fatwa or the hukum, those are hujjat. What to talk of his amal? His amal is not hujjat. If I see a mujtahid doing something, I cannot say before Allah, because I saw the mujtahid doing that, so I also copied him. That's not hujjatun shar'iyya. Obviously the mujtahid is adil. He's not going to do, inshallah, he's not going to do a haram thing. Yes, our scholars are very great people. But technically speaking, in terms of usul al-fiqh, his amal is not hujjat. But when it comes to the ma'soom, their amal and their call are both hujjat, and their taqreer is also hujjat. Inshallah, we'll continue the discussion later on, because I think it's the time of the adhan already. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. Please say the adhan.